Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman podcast, the top podcast in the nation. I'm just going to say it, Ira. You know, why not?
Why not shoot for the moon, baby?
Why not shoot for the moon? It's presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. I'm Steve Isbitz. Lee DeCamper's here. We're JoeBucksFan.com. And, of course, the man with the voice that's the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Hear him on Sirius XM Radio, Mad Dog Radio, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. He's on Spectrum, Bay News 9, Monday and Friday, Fox 13, Tailgate Sunday. You're the most ubiquitous guy in Tampa Bay sports. You're everywhere, Kaufman. You're everywhere.
That's what it's all about, Steve. I've gotten checks from about 14 different venues in 2017. Keep it rolling, baby.
I saw you working at Circle K the other day as well. So it's unbelievable.
Here's one for our...
I was holding a placard outside one of the convenience
Work for
stores.
Food?
Yeah.
Well, here's one. The word of the day, ubiquitous. And the last time I heard anybody described as ubiquitous, the world-renowned Captain Jenks. That's the last guy I heard referred to as ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous.
All right, Sage. Regarding being presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Hey, Ira, look, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, this is it, man. It's the last chance sale. Get their absolute best offers of the year. You waited for the season's best lease offers. You waited for 0%. Now, don't wait any longer. It's the last chance sale at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Get to EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. That's where you get it started, or you head down there on Causeway Boulevard. Ira's been there.
We're turning the calendar in 10 days, Steve. We're turning the calendar to 2018.
It's a big time to go car shopping right after Christmas, but you can start now at EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com and at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. Just west of 275 on Fletcher. Don't miss it. It's the last chance to save there as well. General Manager Brian Danahy, our friend, he's got the season's best offers. Lease 2018 XT5s for only $319 a month with zero down, or get 0% financing 60 months. Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com. Shop all of their year-end clearance offers. And, of course, this expires at the end of the month, the end of the year. And see the dealer for all the details, Ira. Exciting times to have a Cadillac, because you know what? You don't have a Cadillac football team. You might as well have the actual Cadillac vehicle. And, Ira, I got to tell you.
Hold on, Steve. Let me interrupt you as usual.
Please do.
I don't think it's a stretch to suggest, you know, that a lot of our listeners out there on Guam, Iceland, or Reykjavik, or wherever, they're thinking, Steve, they're thinking, I can't afford a Cadillac. I'm not a Cadillac guy. You know, it's like that Seinfeld episode when he was asking about the menage a trois and the Whoa. Girl said she would do it. And he's telling George the story, and he tells George, I'm not going to do it. George goes, you're not going to do it? Are you crazy? This is the great fantasy of every man in the world. No, I'm not an orgy guy. I'd have to get orgy clothes and outfits and oils and this and that. I'm not going to do it.
I was working blue.
It's amazing what I bring into this podcast. Anyway. Steve, a lot of people on the surface, they're saying, I'm not Cadillac. I can't do it. I can't do it financially. I can't drive an Escalade down my neighborhood. I'm not thinking that way, especially because you said I'm coming up with a Cadillac one of these years. But, Steve, if you do show up, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, I think you're going to be very surprised. They can put you in there, and they won't break your budget doing it. Now, Lee, I said something that got you all revved up over there.
Yeah, there was a gentleman, ISL or ISR Buck. That's his handle. His previous handle was Israeli Buck.
Okay.
And he scolded you because he said he's your lone listener from Tel Aviv. And he said,
Steve, we got to do something
about
that.
I think it was the Giants game he came to, and he loved it, but he was upset that you mock your lone listener, Tel Aviv.
He's got to understand that. You know, it's all meant in a spirit of togetherness and kumbaya, Steve. There's no bitterness on this podcast.
I don't know, Ira. You started off with an orgy rant. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what you're doing here. All right, Sage, look, you know, I started by saying you're top podcast in the nation. Of course, you're not the number one podcast in the nation. However, I want to remind everybody, Ira continues to be ranked in the top podcast nationally on the Google Play platform. You can find him on iTunes, Podbean. He's tearing it up.
I'm certainly the only. This is the only Buck centric podcast
Absolutely.
That has such, you know, a high prestige.
Absolutely, one of the few football, like maybe three football, is rated as high as you, including you.
Let's remember, this is a 4-10 football team, gentlemen. Imagine if they were 10-4.
My point was that we don't even think of your podcast anymore as a local phenomenon, because it's been talked about on Mike Florio's show. It's been referenced audio. I send them audio. It's
international.
On NBC Sports Network. The listeners are from all over the world. We have the documentation. So kudos to you as you continue to upset people in all corners of the universe. And look, all right, we're here at One Buck Palace today. Ira, I know I asked you before from the locker room. You didn't have any juice, so we're not even going to ask you for the typical locker room juice. Of course, before Christmas, they're 4-10.
Hey, I'm still getting over the Jameis Winston podium presentation on after the game Monday night, Lee, which I told Alan from the Bucks, whose main assignment is to shadow Winston, give him sage advice. And I told Alan today that I thought that was Winston's best effort at the podium all season. I thought he was very direct. Now, I threw him a nice softball about, you know, how does the team playing hard reflect on Coach Cutter, and that's something that he wanted to talk about. It's obvious that he wanted to talk about. And, Steve, he brought it up. I didn't bring it up.
That's right.
But he did bring up published reports that are trying to rip this team apart. So it's still very much on his mind, no question about it. As it should be.
It is interesting that it's on his mind and that he chose to go there. He could have said a lot of things. I know you call that a softball, but I'm not sure that's that much of a softball. He could have just said, you know, look, we can't think about that stuff. We got beat.
We're playing for each other.
We're professionals, and it's not even a question. But he wanted to go there, and obviously made an impression on you if you're talking about it again, Ira. Now, the news of the day, on injured reserve, I'll run down the list today. Justin Evans, O.J. Howard, Vernon Hargraves, all on IR. They join Adarius Glanton and J.R. Sweezy, done for the year. What do you want to say about any of those guys, Ira? Anybody stand out, the rookies that you want to have a take on? We heard Mike Smith talk about Hargraves. What do you think?
Lee, my take on that is, of all the guys that I thought needed to play these remaining two games, was Hargraves. I think he's a big question mark. And to make matters worse, as I wrote in my column that went out on Wednesday, we're not sure about Brent Grimes. You know why we're not sure, Lee? Because Brent Grimes isn't sure about Brent Grimes. Now, the questions are twofold. One, does he want to play football in 2018? And two, if so, does he want to play here?
Yes.
Well, Buck fans would say, why wouldn't he want to play here in Tampa? Cash. It's a 4-10 football team. Cash. He might be the one player that can put a team over the top in the minds of a general manager.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve. Miko's made it pretty clear in her podcast. It's about the money. It's about the money. Now, granted, Belichick calls, and maybe the money is just, you know, a couple shekels below market value. Does he value a ring? I don't know. But, you know, Brent has put it out there, and if I remember correctly, it was in a Sports Illustrated piece this summer, that he seriously thought about retiring last year and going to play basketball in Europe, professional basketball in Europe. So it's out there that it's up in the air whether he comes back or not.
He is the anchor of this secondary without question, and the gap between Grimes and the next guy at cornerback is enormous. That's why that brings me to Hargraves. If Hargraves had come along, and of course he got injured a lot this year, but if he had come along to be considered the next number one cornerback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you're looking at the Grimes situation in a whole different light. You're not desperate.
Yes.
There's desperation here. Steven, am I missing something?
No.
Am I looking at little Ryan Smith? For as a savior?
No, it's a horrible situation for the team because the desperation that you're talking about, it's not that Grimes isn't a good player, but when you feel compelled to break the bank for a 35-year-old cornerback,
that's when you make mistakes.
That's desperation.
Well, Jason Light has made it clear that when he drafted Noah Spence, when he drafted Vernon Hargraves, that Brent Grimes signed at the same time, Robert Ayers signed at the same time to draft Noah Spence. Those were bridge players. Well, with Grimes, it's given the uncertainty of Vernon Hargraves, Grimes is a bridge to nowhere right now.
Steve, I've talked about this a lot, and it's worth talking about a lot. In the glory days of the Bucks, in the glory days, which didn't last all that long, gentlemen, let's be honest, but one of the keys was some of the draft picks didn't have to play, even the premium picks didn't have to play right away, and they got a year or two in spot duty behind solid veterans, and then when the veteran moves on, in free agency or he retires, then Rondae Barber's ready to step in. That formula is tried and true. That works. And here, guys are thrust into the starting lineup sometimes before they're ready, and there's no apprenticeship. Now, you know, I don't want to say anything that goes with Donald Trump at this point, but the word apprentice is appropriate.
You don't like your stock options right now, Ira?
Don't even talk about it. So... Steve, desperate is the word. And anytime you're desperate, that's when you make mistakes.
I could be wrong. Well, of this, I know I'm not wrong. You're a honk for Father Dungy.
Well, I made the speech for the Hall of Fame, so I have some affinity for the man.
And you wanted him in the Ring of Honor before Gruden, but beside that point. Did not Father Dungy have a philosophy about building a team that every year you draft a cornerback no later than the fourth round for the very reasons you're talking about? And if I remember correctly, in Dungy's years, even in Gruden's early years, they were deep at corner. The Torrey Cox is the world, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, am I wrong at that?
I don't think you're wrong.
I thought I could have heard him say that you always draft a cornerback every year.
And guys, let us not artificially narrow our focus down to the secondary when the bigger problem is up front. Everybody knows that. You can have an average secondary and a hell of a pass rush, and you'd have a pretty darn good defense. It doesn't work the other way around. It does not work.
No, it doesn't. But you know, a couple of things to go back to. One, Miko Grimes, who Lee was referring to, she's said a lot of things between Twitter and her podcast, ranging from "you're going to miss Brent," to, which is she says to the haters, to things like saying that he's going elsewhere. Don't count on him coming back. To we love it here. I'll talk to
That could all be posturing.
Hopefully Brent will change his mind. She's been all over the map. So that's sort of where that
stands. Speaking of which, that is Israeli Buck I told you about earlier.
Yeah.
He bragged about how he was sitting behind Miko at one of these games. I tried to egg him on. Like, we got to hear stories. You got to have stories.
And he had nothing.
Not yet.
So that's a negotiation situation. That'll be interesting. Look, I asked Grimes after the game Monday night. Asked him about, we want to keep playing. Are you thinking now two games left?
And I don't think he's being coy. I think
I pressed him on it a little bit. I asked him, I said, okay, when you're 28 years old, and the season's over, you feel in your gut, hey, I'm coming back. I'm playing football next year. Do you feel that now? Do you feel like you did when you were 28? And he's like, I feel great. I feel great. I want to say I don't feel great. I feel great, but we'll see. I'm a free agent. So I got the feeling, just talking to him there, that right now, he would keep playing, but it's got to be right, and that means money. That's the bottom line.
He doesn't have any natural allegiance to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
No. I don't think he has a natural allegiance to anyone outside of a checkbook.
I mean, I think he felt allegiance to...
And there's no issue with that.
He had allegiance
to... Darrell Revis has been like that his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, you have a limited... Your window to collect big money is limited. And I'm sure Brent and Miko noticed that window is closing rapidly.
Well, he was a Falcons guy, and it was Mike Smith who they gave up on him. They gave up on him, and he had his allegiance there. I know he felt there was some bad blood there, and he went to the Dolphins, and then he was named, after 3 years there, the 50th anniversary team of the Dolphins named him one of their top 50 players of all time, and then he came here. So
because Ross ran him out, allegedly because of Miko.
Yeah, so I don't know.
How bad could the feelings be between Grimes and Mike Smith that he comes here and plays for Mike Smith?
I don't think there's any bad feeling at all, but I think he used to have allegiance. It just, he got the rug pulled out, and he realized this is a business, and I don't blame him for doing whatever he wants to do.
And I'm going
to
throw something in there. Last year about this time, when virtually everyone thought Mike Smith was gone to be a head coach somewhere, and it was after the last game, they beat Carolina, winning record, first time since Ra, 2010. And why am I sounding like Chris Russo all of a sudden? three-word sentences. I asked Brent, I was speculating with Brent. I said, Mark Duffner, there's some speculation he could take over as defensive coordinator if Mike leaves. And Brent raved about Duffner. Now, if there's any coach on the defensive side of the ball that seems to know what the hell he's doing, it's Mark Duffner.
Now he's got more talent to work with, too. He does.
Yes, but did he develop some of that? Look at what he did with Beckwith. Beckwith had limited amount of camp time because of his injury, and boom, look what he did. So I'm just going to speculate. No one is even planted anything in my head about Duffner maybe being defensive coordinator next year. I can't see Mike Smith being that. But I had asked Brent, if Duffner's defensive coordinator, what did you think? What would you think? And again, this is a year ago when I asked Brent this, and he raved about Duffner. So if Duffner hypothetically becomes defensive coordinator, maybe that greases the wheels for Brent to return. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Steve, you saw some of my stats to back up this column about the defensive deficiencies, the yawning deficiencies on that side of the ball.
What?
Yawning.
Not yawning.
Yes. More
like vomiting.
Steve, they're at the bottom of the league in some significant categories. Significant. Third down defense. They're last. Average yards per snap. Per snap. I mean, that's the same level for everybody. Mm-hmm. They're last. Oof. They're last. So, in terms of Mike Smith, who we all love, hasn't gotten the job done, Steve. Now, you could argue personnel up front, it's not there. In the secondary, it's not there. Whatever the reason, Steve, whatever you want to slice it, this defense has been terrible, absolutely terrible. They have a chance. I think they're giving up 390 yards a game, 390. The franchise record's 395 now. There's been some bad Buck teams.
Oh.
I came here in 85. The first 2 years, they were 2-14. Thank you very much, Lehman Bennett. The 86 Buck team, I think, is among one of the worst teams in NFL history.
86?
Somehow, the 86. Somehow they won two games. Somehow. But they were a disaster. This team's right there with them in terms of defense. So, Steve, they got to overhaul that defense, and I don't know if Mike Smith's going to be around to see him do it.
Yeah, Mike Smith today mentioned the issues with the run defense. I think you asked him about double covering.
I did, the Julio, resources.
You know, using resources to take a Julio Jones out of
he
the game.
He didn't go there.
And, you know, does that hurt, you know, run defense? You give it up somewhere else. He flat out said, look, the run fits and the gaps, they're just not there. It's a problem all season.
SOS.
Well, you don't need talent to be in your gap.
Thank you.
You might get mowed over.
You need discipline.
In your gap.
You need discipline, and you need coaching.
Right. And so that was it. That's a huge red flag. You don't need
major red flag. That tells me they've tuned out.
Yeah, you don't need – I don't know what it is, but it's a problem. I wanted to go back to the secondary just to finish that up. You talked about Hargraves. Look, Tony Dungy also had Mike Tomlin and Herm Edwards as in defensive backfield coach. The Bucs have who? John Hoke and Brett Maxey? I don't think the football lore will see those guys in the same plane. And look, the Bucs had a legendary defense. You can afford to groom guys when you have great players. When you don't, you have to play. And the NFL nowadays is about playing. Look at the Saints. They throw Lattimore in there as a rookie. He's in the Pro Bowl at cornerback, and they've revived with a lot of young players. I think they're playing three rookies a lot. Raheem Morris had a million rookies on his defense, and they went 10-6. You got to work with the guys you got.
And Bill Walsh won a Super Bowl with two rookies at cornerback. One guy's named Ronnie Lott, of course.
All four guys in that 49ers.
Three of the four
three
secondary.
Three of the four were rookie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Three of the four were rookie. Now one guy's in the Hall of Fame.
Ronnie Lott. Awesome player. Maybe underrated. Honest to goodness. That's how much I think of him. I'm going to make you feel smart, Ira. Not that you aren't always smart, but this will buttress your self-confidence.
Ubiquitous.
Well, you're not Captain Jenks yet. Right, and for people who don't know who Captain Jenks is, please do yourself a favor and Google and enjoy. Bill Polian. I heard Bill Polian about a week ago. Obviously, Hall of Fame general manager. Recently with the Colts. He's obviously on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I heard him speaking the other night. If I didn't know any better, I swear he was talking about the Bucs, but he was not. And he was saying, if you don't have a pass rush, your defense will not close out games. It just won't happen. And boy, oh boy, have we not seen that with our own eyes.
That goes right to my column, Steve. Can't close out the games. Can't make the key stops.
Yeah,
can't do it.
And the other point in your column was physicality as the word of the day for 2018. Last year
not
was
ubiquitous.
Last year was explosive plays, explosiveness. Now it's physicality.
I want to go a little bit deeper into that, Steve. Now tell me
do.
If I'm wrong.
Please do.
Maybe it's my computer, which you guys say you're going to replace.
Yeah,
this could be
get
a computer
there.
Issue. But I have tried to find this. I can't find it. But my mind can't be this far, you know.
Gone?
I don't have CTE. I don't have it. But I can't find it to back me up. But you guys tell me. Maybe this rings a bell. It seems clear to me that in the final year or two of the Mike Smith regime with Dirk Cutter, calling the plays for those Falcons. It might have been the year before he got fired. I think it was the year before he got fired. In that offseason, the season had just ended. And I think he ended with two bad years in Atlanta.
He did.
Two.
He did.
So after the first bad year in Atlanta, I swear Arthur Blank had his season-ending press conference. And he went out of his way to berate the franchise for lack of physicality.
Wow.
I can't find it on, Steve, you're going to find it.
I bet I can find it.
You know where to find these things.
Yeah, I remember reading that in detail.
Lack of physicality. We're not tough enough. Blank talked at length about it.
And this is after the whatever season it was?
It was the year before he ended up firing.
2014?
No, it was before that. But it was the first bad year that Mike's experienced in Atlanta. And that was the whole theme of Blank's press conference. We are not tough enough. We are not physical on the line of scrimmage. That was a team that was run by Mike Smith and Dirk Cutter. Here we are again in 2017, and they're getting killed in the trenches. Gentlemen, am I drawing parallels that aren't there? But sorry, Mike and Dirk, here we go again.
You also have to have the talent. you know, Mike Smith's biggest issue in Atlanta, they were, you know, Cutter was still putting up points and they still had high ranking offenses.
They had some bad drafts. But the offense, that's what they had.
The offensive lines there were brutal. I mean, they had resorted to signing Jeremy Trueblood, was
Sam
playing right
Baker
tackle for them.
Was there. Remember the son yeah. of David Baker?
That was a fail. And, you know, sure, you go get Matthews. In,
which
in
is the why they drafted him first round.
In the draft, you sign Alex Mack and they develop this guy who plays right tackle, the Schweitzer or whatever.
Remember Pariah Jerry? Was a high yeah. pick. He was a bum.
Pariah?
I think it's Pare, but we'll call him Pariah.
Yeah, I call him a Pariah.
We'll call him Pariah.
They had some bad drafts in Atlanta. I think that's one of the reasons they brought Pioli
in. It's exactly why they brought Pioli in.
They had some bad drafts.
But I remember that. I'm going to dig that up as well. It was an interesting, and I believe Thomas Dimitrioff, their GM now, took some sort of backhanded shot at what was going on then with the coaching staff, so I have to look that up. But interesting, you're right.
Clearly, it was the lack of physicality that had Arthur Blank enraged after that season.
Well, you know, you set the table for this question, and I know Bucks fans are like, ask him. You think the Glazers have already spoken with Arthur Blank about, hey, what do you think we ought to do?
Well, why do you think Arthur Blank's their confidant?
Well, I don't know if there's their confidant, but I know they talk to other owners periodically.
Well, I still think there's a New England connection somehow with the Glazers. I don't know if it's with Belichick directly, but I think they've run things past Belichick in the past. I think they have, which might lead to a possibility of a McDaniels or a Patricia coming here if Cutter doesn't come back.
And I threw this out there.
You're not getting Belichick. Take it easy.
No. Pioli.
Oh, Pioli. I think, you know, they're close to Kraft, and they respect Belichick, and how can you not, you know, in terms of football acumen. Yeah. And I think there's a little New England Glazer connection. A little bit,
or
of,
at least a adoration.
An adulation.
I'm not suggesting, you know, I consider make compelling cases, both pro and con, for Jason Light, as well as Dirk Cutter. I personally like Jason. I like both these guys. But if they do move on from Light, you know, Pioli would take a GM job. Now, when he was at Kansas City, he went bananas. My favorite story about when he was at Kansas City, that he ordered shutters put on all the office windows at the Kansas City complex, whatever they call that. And whenever the team had practice, remote control, those shutters shut down.
Oh boy.
No one in the office. Allegedly, before Pioli got there, one of the generational perks of working for the Chiefs was you get to watch practice for free.
It's kind of like when you write your column, Ira, and you lock the door and you kick the dog out. Nobody can see you at work. Nobody can see you. You sit there at Joe Bucks Fan World headquarters. You huddle up.
Think about that. Remote control, shutters on every windows go boom, they're shut. Like a Get Smart show.
You know, Steve, I just think it's interesting from year to year how things change in terms of last year the accent was on finesse, in a sense. DeSean Jackson, that's finesse. O.J. Howard, yeah, he's a blocker, but he's also got speed to go downfield. Finesse. This offseason is not going to be about finesse. And I don't care about if there's any Saquon, whatever you want to call him, Barkley out there, fans. He ain't coming here as a first-round pick.
I disagree
not
with
gonna
you.
Happen.
I disagree with you wholeheartedly.
Disagree with me.
Finesse. O.J. Howard came in here as a complete tight end, blocking tight end. He's going to help us. There was no finesse there.
But he was not here to be Luke Stocker, my friend.
But he could be both. He could be Luke Stocker and Brate.
He was
but
here to be both.
Primarily stretch the field, gentlemen.
They didn't sign Swaggy Baker for his finesse.
Well, Swaggy Baker, they signed him. They didn't sign him for his practice habits either.
They signed him to eat a pastrami sandwich.
We're talking about off-season focus of the guys upstairs. Baker was here to mix it up and add beef. I actually wrote in a story, Ira. You know how we hear a lot from the higher-ups here at One Buck Palace sometimes. I wrote in a story that when they signed Baker, I think I wrote, he's this, whatever, 6'1", 320. I got a text in 20 minutes. He's got to be 335, this guy, blah, blah, blah. You know,
well, it didn't help him. The extra pounds didn't help him, DeKemper.
They wanted to get bigger with Baker, okay? You know what?
You're talking about one specific
move. No, I'm not. I'm talking about T.J. Ward. T.J. Ward was here to get tougher. They liked him.
Biggest acquisition was DeSean Jackson.
No,
offensively.
There's nothing big about that.
Offensively.
Speed.
Sure, that's one guy.
That's one side of the ball we're talking about.
We're also talking the whole Marpet move was about getting nastier with Sweezy and tougher. And Marpet's going to make us nastier in the middle. And a lot of this was about physicality, and it just fizzled out.
Chris Godwin, one of the reasons they got him was because he fought for the ball. I'm going to go there. Our loyal listeners, I hope they also listen to Scuttlebucks with Jeff Cameron, Tom Lang. If you're not, you need to jump on the boat because it's excellent. The wails from Bucks fans. Oh, Jameis ought to be cut because he can't connect with DeSean Jackson. I've a couple times in the past few weeks, I'm like, you know what? DeSean Jackson, you know, he's not exactly fighting for the damn ball. And I think for Bucks fans, hopefully with a piece of an open mind that watched the game Monday night, I don't think 100% of the reason the bombs are connecting is because of Jameis Winston.
Well, it doesn't explain why he couldn't connect with him, you know, in Minnesota in week two.
With a bum shoulder, from what we hear.
Well, when did this guy get hurt? In game one?
I heard rumors game two, Minnesota. But here, what game was it? It was a home game. Not this past Monday night, but the previous home game, Detroit. Jameis threw a bomb down the middle to DeSean Jackson. The only thing he had to do was adjust for the ball. The ball was there. He didn't even try. The next day, I wrote a story.
He would have needed to dive for it, and he didn't.
He wouldn't need to dive for it. But anyway, I wrote the next day, DeSean Jackson played like he was sick. Oh, that's right. He was sick. You know, it takes two to tango. I don't think there's any question the Buccaneers have not gotten value from DeSean Jackson. Chris Godwin, yes. Chris Godwin fights for the freaking ball.
Lee, I understand your point. I think it's got some validity, but I think until the season went south, DeSean Jackson was giving it his all, and Jameis couldn't connect with him.
I'm not saying he was laying down, but Monday night we saw, yes, Jameis Winston can throw a deep ball. You know what, Monday night, there was a couple examples. I had flashbacks to that Pittsburgh game, his very first college game when he was a freshman. Some of the needles he threaded, holy smokes. Like, you jump backwards in your chair. No, you didn't throw that. Oh, wow, you did.
Now, in DeSean Jackson's defense, let me say this. Steve, reputation as a diva. I wrote about it when they brought him in. He's done a very good job of keeping his mouth shut. There's no question he's frustrated.
He's been a team
frustrated
guy.
By the losing and frustrated by not getting the production that he thought he was going to get. And when he came to Tampa and played with Jameis Winston, he has kept his mouth shut. There's something to be said for that.
Yeah, look, the chemistry was just never there. I mean, it's just that simple. We've all seen quarterbacks and receivers with great chemistry. It was never there. Jameis was thrown behind him, even on crossing routes all over the place early in the season.
And
just
he wasn't throwing close enough on the few deep balls that they did order up earlier in the year to draw the flag. And that's one of my points. You got to get the flag, but the ball wasn't close.
I'm not whitewashing Winston here, but, you know, again, it takes two to tango. Let's not put 100% of the blame on Winston.
I understand.
Definitely not.
But to your point about Jackson being I kept saying team guy, you say he's kept his mouth shut. There's a video, I can't remember what game it was, home game. They were mathematically in the playoff hunt, but we all knew they were gone. DeSean Jackson had a rousing rendition pre-game when Jameis was hurt, and he was like, come on, guys, rah, 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 which is unlike him. He'd been very much a team guy. But I remember what you said in one of your previous podcasts. I think it was back in July. You predicted DeSean Jackson, and people don't read anything into this. I'm not anti-DeSean Jackson in any way, shape, or form, but you predicted the Bucs would not see him finish his 3-year contract here.
I did. I think I'll double down on that assertion. Now, Steve, let me take umbrage. Let me take a little umbrage with you before you take umbrage with me. Lee, I don't think
ahead of the game.
Lee, I don't believe physicality necessarily equates to a guy's got to be 350 pounds like Baker.
No, they just got to be tough
guys. You know
what
physicality is?
Tough guys.
A guy coming off the edge who weighs 265
puts
the guy on his back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. They're not physical, Steven.
I agree with you. I agree with you, Sage. But the focus was a lot on physicality. Look, you and I were
Jason Light's even said it publicly.
You and I were in Phoenix. I don't know if you remember this. We're talking to Jason Light.
The only thing I remember from Phoenix is your driving. It's the only thing I remember.
Hey, I drive physical, Ira. I bring it. Now listen, seriously. Here we are in Phoenix. We're talking with Jason Light. And you know what he tells us? He regretted probably saying it afterwards. You know what he tells us? And we wrote it up. I'm going to remind you, Ira. Noah Spence. He's an animal. The guy's an animal.
When he said that, this bitch dropped his martini. He said, can you say that again, Jason? He did use the word animal.
This is a guy who was coming off shoulder surgery. I'm like, I'm thinking to myself, Jason, it's March. How is Noah Spence an animal?
Well, there's a lot of animals as a praying mantis. You never know what he was talking about.
You know, I mean,
praying mantis. There you go. That's a beautiful
you know, so
isn't that an image?
Praying mantis.
I hear what you're saying. It's just gone wrong here. All right, let me go back to the rookies. But first, there is no rookie service, no rookie deal. at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Get to their websites, edmorescadillactampa.com, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. Last chance for your Christmas gifts over at NFL Photo Store.
You drive down your street in a Cadillac? That's physicality, Steve. That's physicality, right? That's power.
That's muscle. All right, use your Joe Bucks fan code at the NFL Photo Store. Great, beautiful photos for your fan of any NFL team, whoever they are. You got some lady in your life who likes Tom Brady, or some guy in your life who likes Tom Brady, whatever. Bucks pictures, anything you want, they'll frame it and send it to you, or just get the picture. You can frame it yourself. Check it out, NFL Photo Store. That's through NFL.com. So the real deal. Joe Bucks fan code gets you 25% off. And
Steve,
Ira.
Steve, we have not talked about the final two games of the year, including the upcoming.
Oh, no, we've got a lot to talk about. I just want to head back to you with those IR guys. Anything you want to say about Justin Evans? O.J. Howard started all 14 games, 6 touchdowns, 26, 28 catches.
I'm okay with O.J. Howard. A lot of people are jumping on him. They didn't get anything out of him. I'm okay with the way they used him. I thought he was productive.
I'm starting to get very cynical of the loud Bucks fans. The loud Bucks fans want Cutter run out of town. Loud Bucks fans want Jameis Winston tonight.
They're picking on everything, Steve. You got to pick your spot. O.J. Howard's not a bum.
The player that went on IR that could have used the two games more than Vernon Hargraves, I think, is Justin Evans.
Well, I think Evans showed me enough to think that he can be a player in his league.
Well, you want all these young guys.
He's not polished.
You want all these young guys to get as much time as they can because it's very valuable. We can't sit here and on one hand say experience is valuable, on the other hand say that it's not, and it's unfortunate.
There have been a few times this year, and I think you'd remember them, when Evans was involved in a play, turned the wrong way, and we go, what's he doing? What is he doing out there? But he's made plays.
He's a playmaker.
He's made plays.
He's goofed up, but he's made plays, more so than most of his teammates.
He's been sort of in the mold of the guy we were talking about a long time ago, the guy who comes in. He started on the bench. And then after 5 games, he's in the starting lineup, makes a play against Tom Brady, gets more confidence, fits in, his tackling was better than it was in college, and he was on the rise, and so looks good.
He's one of the more rangy safeties the Bucks have had in years. I would say that. He covers ground. He does cover
Since,
ground.
Do I dare say Mr. Broken Arms, Jermaine Phillips?
Well, you got Jermaine. Tenard Jackson, perhaps?
Yeah. Jermaine Phillips. Well, what a shame that was.
Ira, okay. So let's get to this. It's always on the minds of Bucks fans, and Lee was just referencing Bucks fans and their thought processes.
Anti-Jameis. They're lashing out everywhere.
Anti-Jameis, anti-Cutter, anti-GMC.
Dirk Cutter confidence poll Wednesday. I popped it at 4:30 in the morning, so as we record this, 1,200 votes right now.
That's a lot of votes.
It's a little bit better for Cutter than it was last week, but it's still bad. 31.8% say no confidence in the head coach. 37% and a 37.5% say little confidence. That's 68.5%.
That's 68 on the wrong side of the ledger.
Right, 68 on the wrong side of the ledger. Last week it was 76. So the masses seem to like what they saw.
But they also respect your point that we're beyond moral victories here. So it didn't move the needle in a significant way, and that backs up what you're saying. How about winning some games?
Can I quote Dirk Cutter? When he was offensive coordinator, I got to use a George Carlin forbidden word.
Uh-oh.
So caution here. But it's a direct quote from our head coach when he was offensive coordinator. And I was doing the scuttlebucks with Jeff Cameron. We were talking about this very subject, how there's a loud, loud vocal sect of Bucks fans. Jameis, he shouldn't even go home tonight as a member of the Buccaneers. McCoy should have been 2 years ago. He should have been cut. Cutter out the door. I think this is why. Directly quote Dirk Cutter. The only thing people give a shit about are wins.
And you know what? I don't have a problem with that in a way. As long as, they're sensible.
The same vocal sect seemed to like Bruce Allen better than Jason Light, certainly better than Mark Dominic. And why is that? The Bucks were able to get to the playoffs under Allen, even though his drafts were beyond brutal. They were able to get to the playoffs because, again, goes back to what Cutter said. The only people give a beep about our wins.
It's an interesting take, Ira. Something I brought up to you off the air, and I'm going to hit it now to get your wisdom. Sage wisdom, which is why you're here, Ira. You're the sage.
By the way, we're 30 minutes into this podcast. We have not quoted Tom Coren yet. I just want you guys to be aware.
Is that good or bad? I like Tom.
Yeah, I like Tom too.
All right, Ira. Right now, Jameis Winston himself, the man himself we're talking about, is on an 8-game losing streak as a starter. If he loses the next two games, he's on a 10-game losing streak as a starter. We haven't seen that here since Josh Freeman, and I'm going to start doing the digging at the end of the season. Hopefully he doesn't have that streak, but I bet you I'm going to find a modern-day friend. No modern-day franchise quarterback in his third year has ever lost 10 in a row. So the haters, it's a little fuel for them. You got a lot of, still got a lot of weapons.
Now,
What do you make of that?
The New York Times wrote a story today. I showed it to Izbits. The headline was, Winston has been great. Bucks have been terrible.
Was that the same
like that.
One I wrote about this morning?
Yes.
It might be. You don't use the word great in Jameis Winston for year three. You don't. Now, Lee, I know you're a little bit on the Winston bandwagon, and I don't blame you. He just played a marvelous game Monday night. But to use the word great for Jameis Winston in 2017 is absurd.
Well,
it's absurd.
You know what,
and to use the word terrible is absurd. You don't use either one.
I wouldn't use the word great, no question. But here, this is beyond the story. There may not have been any publication that was more harsh, I mean, on Jameis Winston than the New York Times. You read between the lines, that publication wanted this guy behind bars
during the rape allegations.
And all of a sudden, they write this glowing piece on Winston. I almost fell over when I saw it. And Jeff Cameron. Props to Jeff Cameron. He texted me last night. He goes, "You got to see this. I almost fell over."
That's why pure stats sometimes don't tell the story. They just don't.
I'm clearing the slate here. What do you think of what I said? 8-game losing streak, maybe a 10-game losing streak. What do you put on Winston in the grand scheme of that?
What I put on is the 2017 has been a very forgettable season and year for Jameis Winston. And don't forget the Uber allegation that hangs over his head. Like an albatross, you know.
Well,
and who knows when that's going to end.
Albatross.
We don't know where it's going to end, how it's going to end, and when it's going to end. But his play on the field has been very spotty. His decisions are shaky and at times. And he still hasn't gotten rid of that gene, which Cutter's working on hard every year. You don't have to go out and be Superman when the play breaks down.
No need to be.
That's tough. Yeah. That's tough to drive out of a guy as competitive as Winston, who's been as successful as Winston, playing the way with that swagger. It's difficult. You remember that line, Steve, in training camp. You're the only guy who can lose a game for the 2017 Bucks. I think it would be harsh to say that Winston's responsible for losing these games. That's not right.
The three games in his last six starts. He either gave him the lead or tied the game. The fairest thing to say, Steve, is
he hasn't progressed. Now, Lee might take exception to that.
Yeah.
By the numbers, maybe he has, but we're there watching the eyeball test. He hasn't progressed in year three. Doesn't mean I'm getting rid of Jameis Winston. I'm not turning the page on Jameis Winston, but I'll say it again. If the findings are in and it's clear that the Uber driver was telling the truth, I'm getting myself a new quarterback.
But
I'm not backing off.
To Steve's point, I remember Steve brought this up to you with Freeman years ago, and he posed this question, and this guy's name, I'm going to pull it up here in a second.
Is this the guy from Tel Aviv?
Not from Tel Aviv.
All right.
you asked, or Steve asked you, and you were still with the Tribune then, what quarterback that loses 10 games in a row has ever done anything in the NFL as far as success with his team? And that was a trick question. You couldn't come up with one, and you guessed. I'm just going to say, I don't know. I can't remember the guy's name, but everybody will freak out when I say it. You pondered. You sat there, and you made a face, and you pondered. And you pulled out this guy's name. I remember seeing him play. I'm old enough to remember him. He played for the Redskins, but notably with the Eagles, and he was horrible.
Somebody with the Eagles that was horrible?
Post-Norm Van Brocklin, late 60s, early 70s.
Jaworski?
No. Late 60s, early 70s.
Norm Snead?
Norm Snead. There we go, Norm Snead.
Norm Snead. And was I right or was I wrong?
I didn't look it up, but Norm Snead was terrible.
Steve, you usually follow up on those things?
I don't remember exactly. I do remember the Norm Snead thing. I think this was, it doesn't really matter. The point is that.
All we know is he's 2-9.
I'm not making any point other than I'm putting the numbers out there.
And he's probably going to be 2-11, Lee. Let's be honest. Probably going to finish 2-11.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and look, the people care about wins. They should. And you know, when the guy was sold to the Bucks in many ways, the Bucks themselves, I'm not talking about us, the guy was sold as the ultimate leader, the ultimate winner. We're not seeing the ultimate leader and the ultimate winner.
We're not. You're right.
So that's
got a running back that's still making violations of whatever the hell that is, violating team rules.
I mean, that's why we have people questioning it.
If Jameis was,
and that's why my column last week was the biggest story of the 2017 Bucks, even bigger than the 4-9 record at that time, was legitimate questions are now being raised about Jameis.
Well,
that's the story.
I'll admit, I'll use this word again. I'm a Jameis honk. I'll admit it. Doesn't mean I'm an ostrich. Doesn't mean I'm ignoring stuff. What Steve said, you got to question his leadership. He's supposed to be the ultimate leader. If he was that true ultimate leader, he would have grabbed Doug Martin by the throat. Like, this is the second time you screwed up under me. You're making me and the team look bad. You either get your rear end straight or you get the hell out of the door.
Lee,
take your pick.
Lee, he doesn't have the cred in this locker room to do that after the Uber thing. He didn't tell the team. He hasn't come clean with everybody. He's in trouble himself. Whether he did it or not, he didn't handle it right. I don't believe he's got to do that.
Has he missed team meetings?
That's not the point.
Well, it is very much is the point.
I think for his own personal self at his spot, he's not necessarily a flawless guy to go throwing those arrows around.
Name an angel in the NFL. There aren't that many. He has the street cred. If this is his team, like we've been told, I don't know how many times, if he's the ultimate leader. Sapp was a leader. He was no angel. You know, Winston, did he ever a team violation? Not that I know of. I mean, you know, squad. I'm not talking about the Uber nonsense.
I don't know.
If Winston was this leader, what do you think Sapp would have done with Doug Martin pulling that kind of stuff? Sapp would have went nuts. And Sapp was the leader. We talked about this last podcast. You know, we were talking about theoretically Chucky coming here. That I threw out the speculation that Chucky's agent is talking to the Glazers or to Winston's people. Like, you know, if there's one player on his team you got to have in your corner, it's Winston. Same thing with Chucky. He knew he had to have Sapp on his side. If he had Sapp on his side, everything would be all right. Same thing here. You know, if Jameis is that team guy and everybody works, you know, all the players, oh, he's great. Winston would grab Doug Martin by the throat. Like, you SOB, you screwing me up. You're screwing up the team. I know the Uber thing, but Sapp was no angel either.
Hey, speaking of Doug Martin, Steve, I don't think this should go unmentioned. I believe Cutter was asked the other day whether this team violation is in any way related to Doug Martin's past problems, which are well documented in terms of a suspension, you know. And I don't think Cutter answered it. He wouldn't go there.
Yeah, he's
here's something. What I'm going to say. If it was totally unrelated, wasn't drug-related, substance-related, and Cutter doesn't make that point, shame on Cutter. I mean, when you don't say anything, the speculation is he's got the same problem he had before.
Thank you.
If he doesn't have that problem, can't you at least say that?
He's hiding.
Steve, I think that's a mistake unless it is related to his past problems.
Well, I think that, and I've written this twice already this week. If this is really minor with Doug Martin, say it. So what? He was late for a team meeting. Okay, that happens. I'm not condoning it, but. Okay, it's
but
minor.
But you get the specifics in those cases.
Yeah,
you get it.
You're letting him out. You're letting him twist in the wind. If it truly is minor, you're letting the guy's reputation. He probably wants another job in the NFL next year somewhere else. You're letting this guy twist in the wind. Not just him, but your entire organization.
It doesn't sound like it was minor.
No, it's personal.
I mean,
it's something personal.
If he could have, like we mentioned last time, he could have just been benched for the game or not allowed to play in the first half. He could have been fined, but they took his helmet away, and this is not like Dirk Cutter does this every week. I think this is the first time since Doug Martin last year that a guy's been deactivated. So it probably is.
And to leave a shroud of mystery about it, Steve, it doesn't serve anybody's purpose.
It probably is significant and we're just not going to know. I didn't mean to really just to clarify. I didn't mean to say he can't do it. And have that street cred. I meant that he may feel inhibited because he understands
he feels a little bit of guilt because he goofed up with Uber
and
the team.
The team, frankly, the team didn't exactly have his back with the whole eat the W thing. They let those pictures fly all over the place. Oh, look at Jason Jackson. He thinks it's stupid. Look at this guy's face. And all of a sudden, the Bucks no longer put Jameis's pregame speeches on their website. That all disappeared. It's like
has it?
The whole thing is just kind of weird.
Because ESPN,
know.
I mean, I didn't see the broadcast, but I saw a clip online. They broadcast his pregame speech Monday night.
Well, the Bucks
and he was
used
stomping up and down and hollering.
The Bucks used to put it on the website and spread it all over the place. I haven't seen any of them in a long time. All right, Sage, as we head toward our picks here, which we are going to go quick and dirty. You got anything to add here? Anything for the Bucks fans? Anything to keep people's spirits up here?
Yeah, I got. Well, I got one observation.
What bowl
season? I've talked to a lot of Buck fans. You know, yeah, I like talking to people.
Unlike other people that are on an ivory tower, right. You mingle with the commoners.
I've done this for years and years, training camp. I used to walk up and down, up and down.
You get a pulse of the public.
First day of training camp when I was at the Trib, I always did a fan sidebar.
Oh, did you?
Expectations, you know, what are you looking for the season?
That's neat.
And, you know, I love seeing these people in the tent chowing down on a $9 hot dog. And I'd interrupt them and say, hey, what do you think the team's going
to
do?
Is that a hint of
year?
Jealousy I detect?
No. And you know, and then they'd have a beet salad. They'd give me a little piece of it.
A morsel.
But so I've talked to a lot of Buck fans, and guys, I got to tell you, it kind of reflects your Cutter poll. You got 1,200 votes. That's a very healthy outpouring there. And I would say I'm still looking for somebody to say they want Cutter back. Now that doesn't mean I think they're right. We'll get into it more in upcoming podcasts. Because I think you can make a very strong argument for keeping Cutter.
Sure, pro and con.
You know, pro and con. But from fans, they've had enough. They're beaten up.
It's all about the W's, yeah.
And I'll say it again. Worst mistake Dirk Cutter made, winning 9 games last year. It's come back to bite him.
I'll say this real quick, then you better get to your pick. But okay. I'll say, I don't know if it's, you call it a mistake, but it's something that came out of his mouth that I bet he regrets. Hard Knocks. This is the most talent we've had on this team by far.
Yeah, he said that many times, and you know that's the first question I ask him after the season is, did you misevaluate the talent on the team? That's really the number one question for the coach. Hopefully he says yes, because if he says no, it's like putting a shovel in the ground.
Yeah.
All right, Ira, Bucks.
I'll go first.
Bucks, Panthers, what do you got?
I'll go first. I think it's going to be very difficult in Charlotte. Weather could be a factor. 1-6 on the road, Lee. Not very competitive. Although, you know, last time out was an overtime loss in Lambeau, you know, with a backup quarterback. There ain't no backup quarterback in Charlotte.
Was that their last road game?
I think you're right. Yeah. No backup. Cam Newton's playing at a very high level right now. Very, very high. Greg Olsen's a Buck killer. Noted.
Who's undefeated since he got back.
And so he's back. Bucks are depleted. You know, on their best day, they were going to have trouble winning this game. It's not going to be their best day. I'm going 27-10. Home team. 27-10. What do you got, Lee?
Oh, well, I'm going to directly quote Sapp in the famous America's Game documentary about the 2002 championship season. And Warren Sapp talked about what it was like trying to watch a Bucks game when he grew up in Orlando, that his words, not mine, would beam the game into Orlando. In that old high school stadium, of the old sombrero, he called it, directly quote Sapp, it was a nightmare. It was an absolute nightmare. That's what we're going to see Sunday. The Bucks defense is horrid on the road. I mean, Brett Hundley. Tyrod, 3 plays, 75 yards, Tyrod Taylor. They're facing Cam Newton. You mentioned Greg Olsen, a team that has not just playoff aspirations, goals. They're there. They need wins. It's going to be an absolute nightmare. 42-13 Panthers.
You heard it here, Mr. Isbitz. Don't tell me you're going to try to represent.
No, I'm done.
Poor Steve's going to eyewitness this.
The Bucks.
You know, Javier's keeping track of these picks.
Yeah, as he should. No, the Bucks are done. I'll say 35-17. Panthers double them up almost relatively easily. And I think Jameis reverts back to not playing as well as he did the other night. I don't think this is a springboard necessarily for him. He's got a lot to prove, especially on the road. He's got to protect the ball. Tough defense.
And the biggest news of the day, Isbitz is going to be in the house. Lee?
On Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, Steve. There's your present. You're going to see that
tonight. For our next Tuesday podcast, you will give us Tales from Charlotte. You'll have a couple of tales for us.
I forgot about my tale from the other night, but I got to tell that story.
What happened? Now, T-A-L-E or T-A-I-L?
We don't know that one. That one we don't know.
What happened when I got out of the stadium at 3 in the morning? All right, Sage, we'll see you. Get out of here.